And let's once again bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time of worship, for this time that we're able to spend as a body of believers here in your presence. And we pray that you would now bless us as we listen to your word and reflect upon it. We pray as we do each week, Lord, that you would open our hearts to the word that you have for us. We pray that you would give us the ability to receive this word. And not only to receive it, Lord, but also to live it out, to trust in your promises, and to do as you've called us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have noticed from the hymns and, you know, also from the one of the scripture passages we're reading today that the focus we're looking at is prayer. And I think it's probably safe to say that all of us spend at least some time in prayer. And of course, we pray as we gather together for worship each week. Of course, we pray, you know, during Bible study, during Sunday school, during other church activities. But I think it's also safe to say that most, if not all of us, we spend at least some time in prayer outside of church. Now, most of us, we probably do need to spend more time in prayer, and that's probably true of each one of us, not just a few. We don't pray nearly as much as we should. But we do pray a little bit every day. And maybe it's, you know, the prayers we offer before we share our meals. Maybe we pray as we begin our day each morning. Maybe we pray as we lay down to go to sleep each night. You know, whatever the case may be, we all have our ways of doing things, our times when we especially like to go to God in prayer. But again, most of us spend at least a little bit of time in prayer. From what I've seen, even many unbelievers will pray to God. You know, they don't go to church, at least not every week. They don't, they may not pray every day, you know, as you and I try to do. They may pray only when they're facing a crisis, maybe also when they need guidance, when they're not quite sure what they need to do. But even if they're not sure of what they believe, even if they're not sure of who God is, they seem to just naturally pray during those times of helplessness, during those times of need. And I think that all of us, we know, all of us understand how important prayer is in the life of a Christian. Not only is it commanded by God, but it's also an expression of our faith. Prayer is an expression of worship, you know, glorifying God for who he is. Prayer is an expression of our submission to God, as we ask for his guidance and as we submit ourselves to his will. Prayer is an expression of our dependence upon God as we look to him and as we trust in him alone to supply us with our needs. It's been said that prayer is the breath of a Christian. And I can't remember the exact quote. In fact, I can't even remember what book I read it in, so I couldn't go back and look it up. But the point that the author was trying to make is that, you know, just as breathing is a natural and necessary part of life for us as people, so too is prayer. You know, it's a natural and necessary thing for our life of faith. However, even though most of us know and understand how important prayer is, and even though I think all of us spend at least a little bit of time in prayer each and every day, it's also very easy for us to become frustrated in prayer. It's easy to become frustrated because often when we bring our requests to the Lord, it feels as if our prayers are falling upon deaf ears. Even though we know that God is always there, and even though we know that God hears the prayers of his people, it feels as if God is silent. It seems like he will not answer us. It seems as if he will not provide for our needs. You know, God gives us many wonderfuls about prayer throughout Scripture. And these promises, they should comfort us. They should reassure us. But we often become even more frustrated as we hear these promises and as we reflect upon them. For example, in Matthew 18:19, Jesus says that if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. In John 14, starting in verse 13, Jesus says something very similar. He says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And then another great promise we have regarding prayer is found in Matthew chapter 7. And many of you have part of this passage memorized. In that passage, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now again, we often become frustrated when we read these passages because even though God promises that he will grant our requests, and even though these promises sound very, very reassuring to us, we pray and we pray and we pray, and it can feel as if nothing at all is happening. We want to be comforted by these promises. We want to believe these promises. But our experience seems to tell us something much different. Our experience seems to tell us that God doesn't hear our prayers and that he doesn't answer our prayers. And because of this, it can be easy to give up. It can become very easy for us to doubt these promises that God gives to us in his word. It's easy for us to start looking for our own answers instead of looking to God for those answers. It's easy for us to begin depending upon our own strength and our own wisdom, or even that of other people, rather than leaving our needs and concerns in the hands of God, trusting him to meet those needs. Now, in our gospel lesson for this morning, I think Jesus addresses this very situation in which we often find ourselves. He tells us what we can do in these periods where it seems like our prayers are going unheard and when it feels as if our prayers are going unanswered. And he does this in that parable that Gil read, the parable of the persistent widow. Now in Luke 18, if you want to follow along, you remember that Jesus tells this parable about a widow who went to a judge for help. She went to this judge for justice against her adversary. And we're not told exactly what was going on. We're not told exactly what this widow's need was. But really, it's not important to what Jesus is trying to tell us either. She had a need. And because she had a need, she went to the right person for help. She went to the only one who could help her. She took her concern to the judge. However, we are told that this judge was not a godly man. We're told that he did not fear God, and we're told that he did not respect man. So in other words, this judge did not really care what God thought. He didn't care about the people around him. He didn't care what their needs were. And because of this, for a time, he refused to help this widow. Now, if you or I were in this situation, I think many of us, we would just give up. I think many of us would simply lose hope, wouldn't we? When our only source of help is unwilling to do anything, it would leave us feeling like we were stuck between a rock and a hard place. But even though this judge refused to help, the widow did not give up. She knew, again, that this judge was her only hope. And so she kept coming to him. She kept taking her need to him over and over again. She kept pleading with him to give her justice against her adversary. Now, because of this, because of her persistence, we read, the judge finally gave in. Even though he didn't care what God thought, even though he didn't care about this widow, even though he didn't care what circumstances she was facing, he granted her request, and he did it simply because she kept bothering him. He granted her request so that she would not wear him out, so that she would not beat him down by coming to him again and again and again. And I think in some respects, we can relate to the judge here. You know, even though we don't condone his actions, even though we don't approve of his attitude, I think in some ways we can relate. One way that I can relate to this is simply as a parent. You know, most of us, we know that when our kids really want something, they don't ask us one time, do they? They'll ask you again and again and again. They don't take no for an answer. In fact, it oftentimes it feels like they didn't even hear your answer. You know, they come and it seems like they're expecting you to tell them something different than they told you the first time or the first five times for that matter. And even if we don't want to give in to them, even if we don't want to give them what they're asking for, You know, if it's a case of buying them something, even if we don't have the money to give them what they're asking for. Sometimes, even as parents, we'll give in, won't we? And sometimes we'll give in for no other reason than simply to shut them up. And this may not be good, it may not be right. We all acknowledge the fact that we shouldn't give in to our kids simply because they keep asking, because they keep bothering us. But I think most of us have probably done it at one time or another. And because of this, we understand how persistence can pay off. And the point of this parable is clear. It's laid out for us, in fact, at the very beginning of our lesson, before Jesus began the parable. We're told in verse 1 that Jesus told this parable to show the people that they were always to pray and not lose heart. You know, in our passage, as we get to the end of the lesson, you know, Jesus words it in this way. He says, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now, before we get into what Jesus is saying here, let's just real quickly take a look at what he's not saying, okay? Jesus is not saying that God is like the unrighteous judge. He's not saying that God is going to grant our requests simply because we are bothering him. He's not saying that God is going to grant our requests just to shut us up and to get us off his back. The character of God is much different than the character of this judge described for us. As I shared with you earlier from Matthew 7, God, he is a loving father. He's the giver of good gifts. And he will answer our requests. He will meet our needs, Jesus says. Because of his wisdom and love, he often gives to us better things than we ask for. Because so often we don't even know what we should ask. We don't truly understand what it is that we truly need. And we cannot believe that God who loves us will deny us. We cannot believe that God who loves us, and especially a God who loved us enough to send his Son to die for us, we cannot believe that he will hold back his hand of blessing. You know, just as we as parents, just as we could not deny our children something that they really need, neither will God deny us. Just as we cannot blow off the concerns of our children, neither will God ignore our concerns. And as Jesus said, God is much more faithful than we are. He is much more loving than we are. He said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God? And Jesus is saying that if an unrighteous judge will give justice to somebody simply because of their persistence, just because they keep coming to him again and again and again asking for help, then God will certainly do the same. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had periods in my life when I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed. I've had times when I've prayed for months and months about a need or concern, and I didn't receive an answer to my prayer. It felt like my prayers were falling on deaf ears, but I didn't give up. I kept going to the Lord. And then suddenly, when I least expected it, God spoke. When I least expected it, God met that need. Like the persistent widow, we must pray, and we must never give up. We must continually bring our cries to God. We must cry out to him, as Jesus says, day and night, knowing that he will answer. And I realize that many people, they don't like to do this. They don't like going to God again and again and again. And this is especially true if we're going to him about the same need, about the same concern, about the same question. We tend to think that if we go to God over and over again about the same thing, it shows a lack of faith. We tend to think it shows a lack of faith because we're not simply leaving our concerns in the hands of God. If we truly trust him, we think, we should be able to pray once and forget about it. If we truly trust God, we think, we should be able to give it to God and no longer worry about it, and no longer think about it. However, based on this passage of Scripture and others, I think our persistence actually reveals our faith. It reveals our faith because we're continually bringing our needs to the right place. We're continually bringing them to God. asking Him to help us and depending upon Him to help us. It shows that we haven't given up. It shows that we recognize our helplessness apart from God's provision. And in this way, we recognize that God is the only one who can meet our need. He is the only one who can provide for us. And so again, like the persistent widow, we must persist in prayer until that prayer is answered. And this would also make the opposite true. It would say to us that a lack of persevering prayer shows a lack of faith. By failing to bring our concerns to the Lord, we show that we are not looking to Him. We reveal the fact that we are not trusting in Him. In some cases, it shows the fact that we have given up on Him altogether. And I think this is confirmed by other passages of Scripture in which we are commanded to pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul simply says to us, a very short passage, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. He's telling us that our prayer is to be a continual thing. It's not to be something we do for 5 minutes and then we're done. You know, it's not something we're supposed to do in the morning or before bed and then we've done our duty for the day. It's to be something that we are continually doing throughout every moment of every day. And if we are praying continually, then we are praying persistently. In Colossians 4:2, and this is the verse that's on the top of our prayer sheet every week, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Again, the command here is to continue steadfastly in prayer. Some translations of the Bible say, devote yourselves to prayer. The idea here, the meaning here is that we are to give constant attention to prayer. You know, again, it's not to be a periodic thing. It's not to be something we do once or twice a day. You know, it's not like the teaching of Islam that, you know, you have the 5 times a day you're supposed to pray. No, it's to be constant. And not only are we supposed to pray, but we are to watch. We are to expect God to answer our prayers and be watching for those answers to prayers. And then we are to thank Him continually for all of His answers and for all of His blessings. And this passage, it also gives us another great promise of God when it comes to prayer. Because, as I read to you earlier, Jesus not only tells us that God will answer our prayers, but He also tells us that He will do so speedily. So what Jesus is saying is that God is not going to leave us to suffer. God is not going to unnecessarily make us wait for our needs to be fulfilled. He will answer our prayers. He will meet our need, and He will do so quickly. And again, this may cause doubts to rise in the minds of many. And it may do this because, as I mentioned earlier, we often pray and pray and pray, and it feels like nothing is happening. Sometimes it takes weeks or months or even years before God will finally offer or answer a prayer that we have offered up to Him. Some of us, we may have prayers that we have been bringing to God for our entire life, and we still have not seen an answer to that prayer. I have known people, you know, on their deathbeds, and they've been praying for their entire life for something. Maybe it's for the salvation of a child or a family member, and still that need has not been met. You know, even if we believe that God will answer us, even if we believe that God will provide for us what we are asking for, it hardly seems fast. It hardly seems that He is answering our prayers speedily. However, we must also understand this according to God's perception, not our own. You know, in 2 Peter 3, when talking about the return of Christ and why it hadn't happened yet, Peter says, he says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I think that when it comes to our prayers, the same thing applies. The same thing is true. You know, God is eternal. God is not bound by time like you and I are. His perception of time is not the same as ours. You know, even if we think that God is being slow in meeting our need, you know, this is not necessarily the case. God knows all things. He knows what is best. And as a loving Father, we can be assured that He will give us exactly what we need and that He will do it at just the right time. Now, obviously, again, this doesn't mean that if we're asking for something that's bad for us, if we're asking for something that goes against the will of God, that he'll give it to us. You know, God is not going to give us anything that would harm us. He's not going to give us anything that would go against his will, but he will answer our prayers. In his wisdom, he'll give us a blessing that will supply that need. As Jesus closes this passage, he asks a question which it puzzles many. He asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? You know, many people read this and they think it implies that at the end, there won't be any believers here. They think it implies that he won't find faith on the earth. And we know that it is true that at the end, many people are going to turn away from the Lord. We know that at the end, many people will abandon the faith. Scripture tells us that much. But we also know that there will be faith on earth. Whenever Jesus talks about the end, he tells us that at the time of judgment, God will separate the righteous from the wicked, the faithful from the unfaithful. And so obviously there will be some faithful people here. But when we read this question, what we have to remember is that the context of this question is prayer. What Jesus is asking is if people will continue to trust him. He's asking if people will continue coming to him until the end. He's asking if we will continue to depend upon him and to bring our concerns and our needs to him in prayer. He's asking if we'll be persistent in prayer. So again, the point is this. Until the end comes, we must pray. Until the end comes, we must pray and we must not give up. We must not lose heart. We must pray persistently and continually. We must come before God each and every moment in prayer. We must bring our needs to him, and we must expect him to answer. So as you think about this today, I want you to ask yourself the same question I've been asking throughout this week. You know, how is your prayer life? Do you pray continually? Are you persistent in prayer? Do you truly consider God to be your only hope? Or do you give up when it seems as if your prayers are falling on deaf ears? Do you begin looking to yourself or to other people to meet those needs that are weighing upon your heart? We must trust in the Lord. We must trust in his promise. We must trust in his love and faithfulness. We must come to him in complete confidence that he will meet our needs, that he will answer our prayers, and that he will do it at just the right time. Amen.